Well, good morning. Well, we will be having a normal Bible class this morning, so if you have a mic for the people, maybe, for comments, since you're streaming, because I do want feedback and comments from you guys, since we're having a normal Bible class this morning. I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. And we're going to start out there. We're going to look at, let's just start off with a little background. In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul had a vision. A vision where a man from Macedonia said to come over to Macedonia and help us. The Holy Spirit had forbid him to go into the regions of Asia, and so now he has this vision to go into Macedonia, and so they first land in Philippi, and remember in Philippi where there was Lydia, he converted her, and then the Philippian jailer, where he converted the Philippian jailer. And so now they wind up here in Thessalonica. And so in chapter 17 and verse 1, let's just read a little bit of that so we can just get a little background. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. Now, that term from the scriptures is going to be very important as we go through this lesson, as we learn something here about this occasion. All right, so he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and to rise again from the dead. So he's reasoning from the scriptures. That's the Old Testament, because remember, they didn't have a New Testament, right? So he's reasoning with the Old Testament, going through the prophecies of Christ and showing how, you know, what Christ went through, fulfilled those prophecies. But then he talks about him showing how, you know, Christ had to die and suffer and be raised from the dead. That's the New Testament, isn't it? All right, so he's giving them the Old Testament, and he's showing how the inspired New Testament that he was preaching from inspiration, because it wasn't written down yet, and so showing how the scriptures was backing up what he was preaching to them about Christ. And that's the way they did it then. They went back to the scriptures and showed them, hey, this is what God and the prophets, or the prophets through the Holy Spirit and the plan of God, this is what was prophesied, and this is how it has been fulfilled. And so that's what they were doing when they went out and preached and they went into the synagogue, because you knew who was meeting in the synagogues. They were the Jews. But then you also had Greeks that were in the synagogues also listening. So he was explaining this. And then in verse 4 it says, and some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, so there were Greeks there, it says mentioned, not a few, and of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. So seems pretty good so far, doesn't it? And you had some people that believed. And they even, you know, joined with Paul and Silas. In other words, they were now, you know, with Paul and Silas, and they were unified with them because of the gospel that they believed. But now we run into a problem. Said there, they mentioned the Greeks, right? Well, verse 5, but the Jews. Always a problem, right? But the Jews, who were not persuaded, becoming envious, all right, so remember that, that's a problem, took some of the evil men. Now, I'm going to read from the King James, because the terminology here you may have, and you may say, what does this mean? So I want you to just see that for yourself. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort. Now, what in the world is that? Actually, it was just wicked men of the marketplace. And these would be men like those who would just be loitering around, doing nothing. You know, there's a place where I live, my neighborhood that I grew up. It was a 7-Eleven on the corner of King and Rip Rap Road. And that is not a 7-Eleven that you want to go to. Because you have these kind of people there just loitering around outside, waiting for trouble. Just waiting to get into some trouble, and that's not where you want to be. That reminds me of this here. These men are just waiting for trouble. They are loitering around in the marketplace, waiting for something. And it's interesting that these religious so-called Jews, supposed to be faithful to God, will go and consort with this kind of person to go against Paul and Silas. That's just how desperate, how envious, and really how wicked they were. Isn't that right? And these were religious folks, okay? You know, Jesus always had to confront the scribes and the Pharisees, didn't he? And the Sadducees. And he talked about them being hypocrites. He called them wicked. You know, I mean, all kinds of things. But they were the religious leaders of the day, weren't they not? And Jesus would say, oh, they sit in Moses' seat. All that they say do, meaning according to the law, all that they say do, but do not as they do. Because they were hypocrites. And so now you get another example of the hypocrisy of these men. They're going in and getting these evil people, and they cause an uproar in the city. And now they're going out and looking for Paul and Silas. They go to the house of one named Jason, and, you know, they drag him out, and they accuse Paul and Silas of really going against the Roman government. Really is what they're trying to do. They're trying to paint the picture of these men as being insurrectionists, but they weren't. And so they couldn't find Paul and Silas there in Jason's house. So basically they drag him out to the rulers. Really they didn't have anything to charge them with. So they took money, says they took security of them and let them go. And then that's when we get down to where we want to start today. Say, and the brethren, in verse 10, immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea. All right. So, brethren, do you know that the Bible speaks of the FBI? The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation? No, that's not what we're talking about. These were the Jews of Berea, of the city of Macedonia. That the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey brought the gospel to. He brought the gospel to Berea, and after practically, as we have just seen, being run out of the city of Thessalonica, but unlike the Jews in Thessalonica, these men had a different, or these people had a different response to the gospel. The Thessalonians, you know, they rejected the gospel, at least these Jews. But the Bereans received the word, and we're going to read this here in a minute. With all readiness of mind, they were willing to search the scriptures. So, brethren, see if this is going to work for me today. See if you can flip it for me, y'all. Thank you, Obed. This is the Berean FBI. The Berean FBI. And so, reason why I called them the FBI, let's go ahead and read and let's look at our text here. Then the brethren immediately, in verse 10, sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. So they had to send them by night, you know, sneak them out. And they arrived and went into the synagogue of the Jews, same thing they did in Thessalonica. They went into the synagogue and said, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica. More noble, meaning they were more fair-minded, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. All right? So that's what we're going to look at today, brethren, the Berean FBI. And so why do we call them the Berean FBI? It's because of what they believe. First of all, These people believed. All right. They believed in investigation. Isn't that right? They believed in investigation. Just as the FBI, FBI agent would conduct an intense investigation based on evidence, so it was with the Bereans. They had to conduct their own investigation, and that's what they did. And it says here that they searched the scriptures every week, every month, once a year? No, daily. They were desperate, brethren. They searched the scriptures daily. So this shows us something about them. They were not quick to dismiss or reject what Paul had to say, but were willing to verify the truth through investigation. Isn't that what we want people to do when we teach them the gospel? You know, you don't have to take my word for it. You don't take any of our word for it. You go out and search it for yourself, and that's what we want you to do. We want you to open up the Bible and go through the Bible with us and investigate what we're teaching you. That's what you're supposed to do. You don't take any man's word for it. These men were inspired men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Think about this now. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit, but yet these Bereans, they say, oh, we're going to do our investigation. We're going to check you out. We're going to check you out. And so this shows their... I don't have that little screen right here, so I can't tell. You got this shows their determination, brethren. Their determination because they searched the scriptures daily. So look in Psalm 119, if you will. Psalm 119, they had the same mind as this psalmist. They searched the scriptures daily, the Berean FBI here. In Psalm 119 and verse 10, someone read that, if you will, when you get to it. Psalm 119 and verse 10. And go ahead and read it loud.
Do not let me wander from your commandments.
Okay, with all my heart, with all my heart, I have sought thee. You know, this term, have sought thee, carries the idea of seeking deity. Seeking deity. And he says, with all my heart. That's how these Bereans were. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You must be willing from the heart, with a heart of desperation, with a heart of determination, to seek God's way, because it's important to seek God's way. And these Bereans, it was most important to them. But not only determination, dedication. I like Obed. Dedication, brethren, dedication. They searched the scriptures daily. Turn to Psalm, if you will, Psalm chapter 1, the very first Psalm. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And if you get there, someone go ahead and read that. One and two.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Now let's stop right there for a second. Look at this man here. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He standeth not in the way of sinners, and he sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Seems like a progression there, doesn't it? Started out walking, then he was standing, ended up sitting in the seat of the scornful. There's a lot to be said about this, but you know, in Proverbs 12 and verse 5, the scornful are called those of deceit. You know, it's interesting that the Jews would go and hire those wicked men, you know, who were nothing but men of scorn. And these Bereans, they wouldn't follow the counsel of the ungodly. They searched the scriptures, didn't they? You know, and they stuck with what Paul and Silas were saying, and they just checked them out. They didn't choose the way of the sinner. The way of the sinner is the broad way. That's the way that everyone wants to go. That's the way that everyone seems to want to go. You know, Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn to there. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. If you get there, someone read that. Matthew 7 and verse 13.
And turn by the narrow gate.
Yeah.
destruction, and there are many who go in by it.
All right, so enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate. You know, that broad way is the way that everyone wants to go, but that's the way that leads to what? Destruction. Destruction. But that's the popular way, and that's the way people would like to go. You know, Jesus, or in the book of Exodus of the law, it says, do not follow a multitude to do evil. Exodus 23 and verse 2. But that seems to be the way that people go today. Whatever's popular, that's the way they want to go. And that it ends up being the broad way. But not these Bereans. These Bereans will not search the broad way. Their dedication was to the word of God. And so they would search daily. They would search daily. All right. And so in Psalms, we find out that this man, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But look at the contrast. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Same thing that these Bereans were doing. They were searching daily. In Psalms 119 and verse 82, this reminds me of what I've heard of many preachers in the Lord's church. It says here, my eyes fail for your word. I have heard of preachers that burn the midnight oil searching through God's word. Why? Because they want to stand before you and bring you the truth without error. And they search and they search and they search through God's word, and they stay up tirelessly all through the night searching God's word. And I know men that are like that. I know preachers in the Lord's church that do that. And it reminds me of what it says here. My eyes fail for thy word. Well, brethren, let's go and look at something else that the Bereans believed. They believed in investigation, but they also believed in something else. It says that they searched the scriptures. Isn't that right? So they believed in inspiration. You know, they didn't search their opinions, did they? Can we search our opinions sometimes? You know what's wrong with an opinion? Everybody has one. Everybody has one. And so they didn't search their opinions. They didn't search their traditions, did they? They didn't search their traditions. What's wrong with traditions? What did Jesus say in Matthew 15 and verse 3? Matthew 15 and verse 3. You get there, someone read it. What is wrong with traditions? Aren't some traditions good? Okay, I didn't hear a yes or a no for that one. Are some traditions good? Yeah, some traditions are very good. But then there are some traditions that are a problem. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 15 and verse 3. Go ahead and read that, someone. Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? When your tradition transgresses God's word, that's when it's no longer good. And so these Bereans, no, they didn't search their traditions. Did they search their feelings? You know, a lot of people, well, I feel, you know, I feel. Is that the place to go when you're trying to do some investigation about God's word? Is feelings a good place to go? How did Joseph's father feel when his brother came to him and said, Joseph is dead, was attacked by some wild animal. They brought his coat of many colors, which they smeared with blood. How did the father feel about that? Felt terrible. Did he think it was true? Yes, he thought it was true. He wept and mourned for his son for years. For years. But was it true? It was a lie. But yet his feelings guided him, didn't it? And caused him to mourn for his son. Did he go investigate? No, he did not. Feelings can be the wrong direction, people. Can't just search your feelings because you feel something is right. That doesn't make it right. And so here the Bereans, they didn't search their feelings. Jeremiah 17:9 or Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own what? Understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps. A lot of scriptures in there about the heart. The heart can be deceitful. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Your heart, your mind can be deceitful. Can't trust in it. We have to trust in God's word. You know, today there are some other places we can search. What about Twitter? Imagine if they had Twitter back here. Nah, a lot of people like to search social media, don't they? Twitter, WikiLeaks, and those are some bad places to go, especially now. There's all kinds of things on social media. That's, yes, sir. Oh, somebody got a comment over here. Can you bring the mic up? So social media, bad place to go today. My brother wants to comment on that, I think.
The church, they to wherever he go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
Investigate and see it was so. There was not the following.
That's right.
Their main of look into the scripture and see what the word, and I think we should be that way too.
Okay.
Staying there, staying in the word, and trying to find out who is right and who is wrong.
Okay.
And focus on the scriptures.
So they went to the scriptures because the scriptures are from God. There's no higher place you can go than God. And so what our brother was saying, because the mic was going in and out, and a lot of people will tend to follow the preacher, their preacher. And when that preacher leaves, they follow right behind him. Not whether he's right or wrong, they seem to want to follow the preacher. You have another, okay.
It comes down to an authoritative source or non-authoritative.
There you go. Authoritative source, he says, or a non-authoritative source. That's right. And so they believed in inspiration, and that means they believed in the source. Okay? You got another? Yes, sir.
This morning, I was investigating you.
All right. There you go. That's right, brother. This morning, he was investigating me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can't verify scripture.
That's right. Can't verify with scripture. Keep it quiet. We have the Southeast FBI right here. That's right, brother. You investigate me. That's right. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You know what that means? It is God-breathed. We talked about this earlier. Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus would say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So it's got to be from God, or we just can't believe it. You know, just as God breathed life into Adam and Eve, and they became a living soul, God breathed life into the scriptures, and they became living. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The scriptures are living, people, living. And so we have to go to the scriptures, and that's exactly what the Bereans did. John 12 and verse 50. John 12 and verse 50. Turn there if you will. John 12 and verse 50. In John 6:63, Jesus will say, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Just like God breathed into man the breath of life, man became a living soul. God's word is living. It's alive. John 12 and verse 50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus didn't even speak of his own. He said what the Father gave him to speak, that's what he spoke. And brethren, we should be no different. If it comes from the Bible, then that's what we speak. We don't speak of ourselves. And so if Jesus could do that, and speak only that which the Father gave him, then we should be able to do that too. Speak only what the Lord has given us. They believed in the source, but they also believed in the sureness of God's word. Psalm 19 and verse 7. Psalm 19 and verse 7. The word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know, there's a saying. You usually see it on a bumper sticker. And it says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's wrong. Sounds good, but it's wrong. It should be, God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. That should be the bumper sticker, whether I believe it or not. God said it, and that settles it. You know, in the words of Marshall Keeble, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. You know, my dad, who's passed now, he would always say, what the book say? I would always hear him disputing with someone about the gospel, and dad would say, what the book say? And he'd have that Bible right in his hand. What the book say? You know? And that's how we should be. And that's how these Bereans were. They went back to the scriptures. They didn't just take Paul's word for it. All right, and another thing. Let's go to the next thing that they believed in. They believed in interpretation. It says that they searched the scriptures to see whether or to find out whether those things were so. Okay, so they believed in interpretation. Just like an FBI agent, he has to gather all the evidence and then he has to make an evaluation of all that evidence, doesn't he? Doesn't he? And so, just like these Bereans, they believed in interpretation. When we say that, they believed in the consistency of God's word, okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. They believed in the consistency of God's word. All right. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't a product of man. Not by any private interpretation means it wasn't from the mind of man. It wasn't a product of man. These men were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit gave them what to say, these prophets. And what was written down was what the Holy Spirit gave men what to write. So it wasn't by man's own invention that we got the scriptures or that we get the word of God. And that's why we can trust the word of God. That's why we can believe in his consistency. You know, though God used many writers and many men, the interpretation here means the scriptures were not produced by those men's imagination. God is the only author. Is that right? That makes God the only author of his word. Therefore, God's word is consistent. I can trust that it's consistent. It's not going to contradict. It's consistent. You know, the writings of men, you can go to a courtroom with witnesses. One would testify here, and then another one would, I was there too, and testify, but then there would be a conflict in their testimony, wouldn't it? Sometimes we find that with the same people who saw the same thing, one saw it one way and one saw it another way. Don't get that with God. Even though there were, you know, since God's wisdom is past finding out, one of the things that strike me with the Bible, over 40 different authors, I mean, some live thousands of years apart. They came from all different backgrounds. Yet we have a Bible where none of those authors contradict each other. But the brilliant thing is, I can read Paul's writing. And you know what? There's a style in which Paul wrote. I can read Luke's writing. There's a style in which Luke wrote, because Luke used a lot of, Luke was a physician. So he used medical terms. I mean, it's incredible to me that God could even take the man's character and include it in the writing. And I didn't know this until, you know, many of the scholars who you know, dove into the Bible and they dig all this kind of stuff out. Don't look for me, that kind of stuff. I'm not that smart. But, you know, but other men, yeah, this is a Pauline letter. Let me show you why. Look how Paul starts his letter. Look what Paul says here. This is consistent with Paul's writings. How can God do that? Because he's God. Because he's God. It's amazing to me. So if Obed was back there then, we would have a Obed characterized letter, wouldn't we? What is something that Obed says a lot? What do y'all associate Obed with? Anything that Obed might say a lot? Come on. Yeah, I'm picking on you, Obed. Oh, somebody's got something on him. So we got a microphone, mic over there.
He always says the easy answer is always easy to the question. I think I'm trying to quote him right.
So you see that Obed has his own style, doesn't he? He has his own personality. And that's the way these writers were. And God did not lose that in the writing. That's what's brilliant about the Bible. It's amazing to me. I just thought I would point that out to you. But not only they believed in the conclusion. So the fact that they believed in interpretation, they trusted in the conclusion. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It's what Paul writing to Timothy, and he tells Timothy to study, to show thyself approved, or give diligence, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of God. You know what this means? We can't come to a conclusion that's going to cause a contradiction in God's word. Whatever conclusion you come to about one scripture must not contradict another. False doctrines abound because this principle is so often violated. You talk to some people out here that, are going against the gospel, and it's because here they see one scripture, they draw a conclusion, but they don't put the whole together. And so therefore they end up contradicting another scripture. They do that with the plan of salvation. They see the word believe, and that's where they stop. Oh, all you need to do is believe. Yes, the Bible says to believe and be saved. It's called a synecdoche. That means it puts the part for the whole. It does that in certain places in the Bible. If I were to say I drove here or was driven here to the building this morning, do I have to tell you that I got up, shook the cobwebs off, gathered up my stuff, went and washed, put my clothes on? Hey, would you be interested in all of that? I ate breakfast, gathered up some stuff. Hey, Zach, you know, time to go. Got in the car. I mean, if I had to go through all of that with everything, every time I explained something to you, you would probably say, someone would come to you and say, hey, look, why don't you ask Mike this question? No. No way. I will be there for a day just to get one answer to one question. So, and that's how the Bible is. You know, there are certain places in the Bible where it tells you, and they believe, assuming that you know because you've read in other places what that meant. And so it doesn't have to go through the whole scenario all again of everything they had to do to be considered a believer. And so, but a lot of our denominational friends will get to that one scripture and park there and say, this is what you need to do to believe. And they would take it at that, and that means a mental assent, a belief that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God, and that's it, you're done, you're good to go. But that's not how the Bible is written. And so, brethren, when you come to a conclusion, it must not contradict another scripture. So like the Berean FBI, when you properly handle God's word, you will arrive at the proper conclusion. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point. And then, brethren, last and but not least, they believed in salvation. They believed in salvation. You know, the FBI is looking to get a conviction, you know, right? They're looking to find out, hey, who did what, and get a conclusion and convict the right person of the crime. Well, the Berean FBI here, they were also looking to be convicted. They were looking to be convicted, and they were convicted that they needed salvation. That's the conclusion that they drew, because it says here, with all readiness of mind. That's how they received Paul. That's how they received the word, with all readiness of mind. In other words, their heart was open. Their mind was open. They weren't closed-minded. You ever try to talk to someone who's closed-minded? They just will not listen to reason, will they? And so, you know, they weren't like that. You know, they listened to Paul. They weren't like those in Thessalonica. You know, they just discounted what they said right off the bat. But not these people here, because they believed in the power of God's word. That's why their mind was open to it. Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus would say there, "You do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." There's power in the word, brethren. There's power. God's word has the power to save, and that's why Paul would say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth." Romans 1 and verse 16. So the scriptures, they contain the gospel of Jesus Christ. The scriptures tells us that the sinner must hear that gospel, that they must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's what the scriptures tell you. And that the sinner must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and because of that, that they must repent and turn to Christ. That's the power of God's word. It convicts your heart to the point where it makes you turn. It makes you want to turn away from the world and turn to God. And that's what it's supposed to do. It causes the sinner to confess his faith before men with the mouth, Romans 10, 9, and 10. And then the sinner to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. I was listening to what Obed had preached on that, to be baptized into the name of Christ. That's very important, that word into. I think the King James says in the name of Jesus Christ, but into, you know, it carries the idea of becoming in fellowship with. And I thought that was really important to know. It brings you into that fellowship, that connection with the Lord, into the name, into that authority. And then that's the power of the scriptures, because after that you're raised up and you are now a child of God. So they believed in the power, but they also believed in the prophet of God's word. In Psalm chapter 1 again, we looked at where the man, you know, it says he meditated in the word of God night and day. But look at the prophet. Look at the prophet of one who would do such a thing. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper." That's what happens, brethren, when you stay in God's word and you do meditate upon it day and night. Meditation upon God's word may not necessarily mean I'm going taking God's word and I'm just reading it all the time. It means that now when I'm faced with something, I have that recall. And I meditate upon God's word. What would God's word have me to do in this situation? That's where we're trying to get to. It's not just about reading and knowing. You got to do more than just know. You know, we have to be doers of God's word. Isn't that right? Isn't that what James tells us? That we have to be doers. We have to be like the one who looks in the mirror, sees a problem, my hair's out of place, got dirt on my face, and I don't just walk away. I fix it. And that's what God's word is trying to get us to do, so that we can live our lives in a way that will be pleasing to God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, talks about the profitability of God's word. God's word is profitable, brethren. It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine tells us what is right. It's profitable for reproof. Reproof reveals what's not right. It's profitable for correction. Correction reveals how to get right. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. That reveals to us how to stay right. And then that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works, so that you can be right with God. And so, brethren, these Bereans, you know, they search, and their search ended with them being profitable. They profited from it, And it says that at the end in verse 12, that many of them believed. And that believe means they did just what we outlined. They obeyed the gospel and they believed. So that means they comprehended it and they complied with it. And that's what the belief is there. So that's our lesson for this morning. The Berean FBI, they became the Lord's FBI, and that's what we are. We're the Lord's FBI. We're faithful Bible investigators. Don't ever stop being a faithful Bible investigator. Always stay in the Lord's Word. Thank you very much. I appreciate your attention and your comments.